This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Richard Sherman coming up in a couple of minutes here. Waiting for the calls up. See what's going on with Sherman, who he's 30 already. Mm-hmm. Been around a long time. What a career, too.
Yeah, 30. I was ready to be done.
Yeah, right? And how much you have to have so much respect for somebody who... Any middle round guy, somebody like, first of all, London Fletcher wasn't drafted. Mm-hmm. Terrell Davis was a middle round guy. Yeah. Richard Sherman was a fifth round. To become a Hall of Famer or an All Pro or a borderline Hall of Famer is one thing, but to do so from when you're not so overlooked on draft day is amazing.
Yeah, you're right. You keep that chip on your shoulder and you play with an anger that's not necessarily you, but it's you on game day.
Yeah.
And he's done that for his entire career.
There's no doubt it's propelled him to really big heights. And he's with us here, of course, the aforementioned Richard Sherman, four-time Pro Bowler, three-time All-Pro, Super Bowl champ as well. It's a nice treat. Richard, Tekin, Tierney, how are you today, man?
I'm great. Yourself?
Doing okay.
Yeah,
doing
well. Good. Hey, real quickly, tell us about this fan-controlled football league that you're starting. I think I heard something about this in the offseason. What is this all about that you and – that Marshawn are getting involved in?
Well, it's honestly kind of like arena football, but it's all controlled by the fans. You know, they'll control everything from the players that are picked on the team, the team name, the logo, all the way down to the plays that are called on the field in real time. And it's something that they tried last year and did a little proof of concept with one team, and I thought that was really cool, and it worked out really well, honestly. And I thought, man, I want to get involved in this. I think this is going to be something really cool. It's going to happen during the summer when there's a big lull in football and there's something to talk about. And it'll give young kids an opportunity to put something on tape and keep themselves in shape when they're not on the team.
No, it's interesting, and it's broadcast.
Tiki wants to play.
Yeah, right. No, I'm too old. it's broadcast on Twitch, which is obviously, if you have young kids, this is where all these kids are going. The goal is to engage kids in these games, but is it also to draw attention to you all in the sport as well?
Well, it's definitely to draw attention, but it's also kind of to bring different fans of different aspects of sports and gaming together.
Yeah.
You know, there are some fans that are only fans of video games and the whole esports world.
Yeah.
And we're trying to bring fans of that world into the football world. It's almost cross-platform fanship, I guess, is the word I'm going to use.
I got you.
It's given arena football fans, NFL football fans, video game, Twitch fans, something they can all come together and dissect and digest and really make an impact on. You know, when fans get a chance to call a play and see the play executed on the field and really feel like they have an impact on the game, I think it's going to spark a lot of interest.
Yeah, it's a cool initiative. Anytime you give anybody ownership over something, they're going to be engaged. So it is interesting. That's Richard Sherman, by the way, of course. Richard Sherman, now with the 49ers. Boy, and listen, you got the, this is going to sound strange. You got the kind of body that you're going to look good in any uniform, but you still look a little weird in a 49ers uniform, man. Have you gotten used to it yet? Come on, Sherm. What, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I got used to it today. You know, the day I got there, just like you would any other job. You get there, you know, you get fired from one job, you go to the next job, you get your bearings about you, and you get to work. And that's exactly what I did when I got to San Fran. And I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed, you know, being on the team. I've enjoyed the coaches. The fans have been great to me. You know, obviously, unfortunately, the season hasn't gone great because, you know, we've been ravaged with injuries. But I look forward to continuing to play, continuing to be here, and continuing to see this team grow.
Yeah. Richard, what's your emotion towards your former team, the Seahawks? What do you feel about them? Obviously, you won a Super Bowl there. It's where you made your name. Your Hall of Fame career was there. What do you feel towards the Seahawks?
I feel a lot of love for the fans and appreciation. Obviously, a lot of love and respect for my teammates there and the things we were able to do, obviously. A lot of those guys I'll be friends with for the rest of my life. you know, thankful because it was a real cool time in my life and in our lives and memories that will last forever. And, you know, I'm sure at some point or another, once I'm done playing and sit back, I'll get to reflect on all that. But right now, you know, I'm just focused on being a 49er and helping my team win and helping them grow.
Yeah. Richard Sherman's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. You know, it's funny because I was a little – Tiki and I talked about this. I was a little surprised. I don't even know if surprised is the right word. Maybe disappointed. Not that you really care what I think, that's for sure. But I was a little disappointed when you were asked about Russell, and you said you brought up you've also seen him throw five picks, which is the truth, which is the reality of it. You've seen him play great. You've seen him make mistakes as well. But it came across, at least to me, like you were taking a little shot. At that, and I think that's how a lot of people took it. Was it meant to be a shot, or is that just how it came out?
See, the difference between the way you guys do things and the way I do things is I'm pretty direct, and I've kind of made my reputation.
Well, I'm pretty direct, too. Right. I'm pretty direct, too.
Exactly. So if I wanted to take a shot at him, I would have said my shot. You know what I mean? I wouldn't need to dance around it. I was saying I've seen him do great, and I've seen him not do great. But when in this world of media, it's just, you know, sensationalizing headlines, you can make – It even, like I said, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you can sell the game. You can sell the, oh, my God, he said this. You know, and I'm no longer bothered by it because, you know, that's the world we live in nowadays. That's how they sell tickets. That's how they get butts in the seats. So,
yeah.
I don't let it bother me. It doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, Richard, it's also how they get Twitter and Instagram followers and everything else. But let me ask you about, since you, I mean, you've been very outspoken about a lot of things around the league, and this is off the field now. All right, on the field, but kind of off the field. You've been a big supporter of Colin Kaepernick and his stance for equality for minorities in this country. You also now are a teammate or were a former teammate of Reuben Foster, who was cut after this latest alleged domestic violence incident, and he was immediately picked up. What can you tell us about Reuben Foster? Because we make judgments based on what we hear in the media, but we don't really know what kind of guy he is or what's going on with these type of situations. What's your stance on this as it pertains to these violent type actions that happen with players that are in the National Football League?
I think I think obviously, like most people think, I think you keep your hands to yourself, and that goes for everyone. You know, you don't need to put your hands on nobody. It's not right either way. I think that young man has had a tough upbringing in general. I don't know how much history you know, but he just had a really, I mean, most people would have never made it.
Yeah.
To the NFL. I mean, wouldn't have made it to college or done anything with their lives coming from where he came from, being homeless and at 14 years old, 15 years old, and, you know, going from house to house, somehow making it to Alabama. His situation is just one of those unfortunate deals. You know, I'm not sure exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. Obviously, everybody is pretty informed with how the first allegations went down and what the culmination of that was. And, you know, even you know, allegations that are proven false damage reputation.
Of course.
And damage your image, you know. And that's one of the unfortunate things about today's day and age is guilty until found innocent, and even once you're found innocent, guilty.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's you can never wipe that away. You can never change that perception. You can never, you know, delete those headlines or delete those stories. You know, they'll forever live, regardless of if a man has done anything wrong or hasn't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that he's a really good kid. You know, he has a really good heart. You know, has he made mistakes in judgment? Of course. You know, I think that's pretty obvious to anyone. But I'm not sure that I believe that he's out there putting his hands on people in the way that it's been perceived.
Yeah.
You know, and I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I think he's made bad decisions, but I just don't think that he's the monster that they make him out to be. And that's what's unfortunate about a lot of the way perception is these days, is that guys don't have to be monsters to be made out to be.
Yeah, no, you're right. I know you're up against the clock because you're on the tour here, but I got to ask you one more question. I wonder if you and your peers are frustrated, I guess is the best word I can use, that Reuben Foster and some others, Kareem Hunt's going to get a second chance, are getting second chance, but Colin Kaepernick is not. Is that frustrating to you all?
I mean, honestly, it's not. I don't know. I can't speak for other guys, but I don't compare it in that way.
Yeah.
I think it's unfair in general. I don't think it's unfair because these guys are getting a shot and he didn't commit a crime and he's not getting a shot. I think it's unfair because he's a good football player and he's not getting a chance to play football. And worse football players are getting chance after chance after chance after chance after chance after chance.
Yeah.
And obviously the Washington situation is the most egregious at this moment. But there have been plenty of quarterback situations that have been worse than this. And quarterbacks that have played meaningful football in this league that are not as talented or have the resume that Colin Kaepernick has. And the most frustrating thing is there's nothing that anybody can do about it.
Yeah.
You know, the NFL is obviously belligerently freezing him out. And everybody sees it. It's pretty obvious. And there's nothing that can be done. You know, you just saw Colt McCoy and Mark Sanchez get opportunities to play for a team that's in a position that's fighting for a playoff spot. And to tell me that a kid who's not only gone through the playoffs in one big game, but has been to the Super Bowl, multiple Pro Bowls, has played at a real high level in this game, that he could not help that team. And I think that's the sad part, is that people see what it is and there's nothing being done.
Yeah.
Richard, we've had a lot of hard conversations, quite frankly, that needed to be had. And a lot of this, you know, really the Kaepernick situation was a launch point for for a lot of that. And I'm curious, as a guy who's obviously smart but also street smart, you've got a lot going for you and a lot of different perspectives. Do you think in your heart that, while not everything's fixed, but have you seen progress? Does the world seem like a better place today than it did a couple of years ago when this all flared up to you?
In terms of, in what regards? Because that's kind of a...
It's a little broad, I got you.
Well, perception, I think what he's saying is perception of athletes, and how athletes are treated, viewed, given the benefit of the doubt, et cetera. African Americans.
Yeah, more of a race dynamic for sure.
I think in some way it's gotten better. You know, I think that Colin and Eric and all those guys who took a stand and protested and brought awareness was bring it to the forefront, make people have a really uncomfortable conversation.
Yeah.
And still have uncomfortable conversations. But I think that obviously there are still things going on in terms of race relations. There are still, you know, African Americans getting killed, you know, just today, I think, in Alabama, they found that the kid that was running away from the scene, that got shot in the back, was totally innocent and didn't do anything. And I think while there has been progress, that you know, obviously it hasn't entirely turned.
We're still a ways to go for sure.
Yeah,
Richard, appreciate you, man. 4-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All Pro, but a lot of thoughts on a lot of different things. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you down the road. Maybe at the Super Bowl, we'll catch you.
Thank you. I can't wait.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.